This is a profit-making venture. So, but more importantly, in his lineage, being in terms of the and not only because he was the brother-in-law of Rajatani, he was complicit in helping to explain to then persons why it was necessary and why we as African Americans never be could be considered as citizens. So, as my Uncle Perrin would say, that you know the struggle continues. So that
all right now,
moving forward, we've got to adjust to things. And just as we've taken down the Confederate general statues, and as U.S. Army is going about renaming bases, we've got to remember that Congressman Mitchell was a distinguished Purple Heart veteran and fought in World War II and was part of the Patton effort and the U.S.'s effort to get Rommel out of North Africa. And that, and then also he helped to create the 8A program of the U.S. government. Also, who is with us today is Mrs. Laquan Partee McCarley, who is the executive director of the Clarence and Juanita Mitchell Jackson Foundation. Mrs. McCarley, are you here? I wanted to make sure you acknowledge yourself.
Thank you, Senator Mitchell. I'm so happy to be here and also to be with all of you freedom fighters who are still giving us the information necessary for us to be knowledgeable about our voting rights, number one, and two, about history. So thank you for having me here.
Yeah, we're so happy. We're so happy to have
the cause. You know, Darryl, you are always is my favorite number one councilman, and you get drafted by that's really just the spirit causing that to happen. But more importantly, as we go on, I'll tell you where I am now, because that's what Uncle Perrin always said, no matter what the fight is, you got to be prepared for it. And so I'm currently hospitalized awaiting a procedure, but I thought I would come on. I will, they're not coming to get me for at least another 45 minutes. So you have me. And if there's anything left over, Ms. McCarley is right here to take up the slack and explain to you why we have the foundation to continue to preserve the records of Congressman Mitchell. Let me briefly say this.
If you will hold for just a second.
Yeah, just a second. We're going to get right back on you. Go ahead, Barbara.
Yes. Well, everybody, we have a special tape we're going to play for you right now, because it turns out not everybody likes this news that the caucus of black state legislators, black leaders, is calling for this renaming of the bridge. And it actually has elicited some real adverse reactions. So listen to this tape from one of Maryland's finest.
Carl, we'll get your reaction. We'll get reactions on the other side. Let's hear that tape.
Go ahead, Stanley. Please play.
Who voted for Obama, thought he was the best president we've ever had. But I just want you to know, we're all sick and tired of the racist policies coming out of organizations like yourself. Francis Scott Key is a hero in America. He wrote the Star Spangled Banner. That's our anthem. I guess maybe you need to go for your own anthem, the African anthem. So let me tell you, we're sick of this. It's racist to rewrite history. You didn't pick any damn cotton, and I didn't own any slaves. So I think it's time to get over yourself. We don't need to fund reparations, because we've already done that. We did it with affirmative action. We did it with welfare. And so I just think it's time to move forward. I know many black Americans. I have many black friends, and they're sick and tired of the victimhood mentality that so many of you have. So just know. Just know, I can't tell you how many people are starting to say they're getting sick of it. And it's divisive, it's racist, and it's hate-filled. Move forward. Move forward. Anybody can pick themselves up and do well in America. So you don't need to focus on the past. Get over yourself. End of message.
My. Get over yourself, Darryl.
And you know, Barbara, these are messages that are being received by the Caucus of American Caucus of African American Leaders from across the nation, not in the state of Maryland. These are coming from all over the country. And it's just incredible when you pick that scab, the bleeding that's still there, it's present. You know, Barbara, we've been joined by State Senator Jill Carter. She's a current state senator here in the state of Maryland. Jill, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Senator Carter represents Baltimore now. She's a member of the Maryland State Bar, so she, like Roger Taney, much less Francis Scott Key, is an attorney as well. Senator Carter, you had an opportunity to listen to this to the white woman that called in and left this message for the Caucus of African American Leaders. What response do you have to that?
So I wasn't sure what I was listening to, because when I tuned in, I heard she had already started the message, so I wasn't sure if that was somebody on your line or who it was. But bottom line is this, it's outrageous. You know, I could go on, but reparations is a specific remedy for a specific harm from centuries of uncompensated labor, and that has nothing to do with affirmative action or renaming a bridge or anything else. So, or a statue. But thank you for bringing up Taney, because really briefly, when I was in the House of Delegates years ago, I had a bill to remove the Taney statue, listen to this, from the front door of the Maryland State House. And at that time, then Speaker Michael Bush and President Mike Miller all opposed it heavily, didn't pass my bill. And a little bit after that, like 2 years later, the West Virginia thing happens with the rioting, and they fell over themselves to remove the statue, the Taney statue, even though it had nothing to do with it. Isn't that interesting? That's how politics works.
Oh, yes. And I thought, Senator, I thought, you know, everybody, that the entirety of that call, with so many racist tropes about, I mean, welfare. Who, I mean, does she know anything about America, about welfare in America, and who the most recipients are? They're not black people, folks. The majority of recipients are white, have always been white. So it's just, you know, once again, all of this racial confusion, but it's just racist, you know, stereotypes and tropes. But we heard a whole series of them.
Come on, Barbara. You didn't pick cotton.
Isn't that what you said? Hey,
Councilman Jones, if I could just
I'll tell you one thing. There are people sitting in this country whose wealth, and some are sitting in Congress, some are sitting in state legislatures, some are governors, whose wealth comes directly from the cotton-picking hands of black folks. So let's not get it confused. It's not like somehow that all happened and there was no wealth generated that has sustained people from generation to generation.
And some of them bear the last name Cotton, but I'm not going there.
Attorney Jones, if I might just briefly introduce Senator Michael Bowen Mitchell. We're honored to have Senator Jill Carter. It's part of her DNA. I knew her late father, Walter Carter, who was, you know, they tend to use the word activist. He was a freedom fighter. And he gave the very essence of his body and soul to move us forward. And it's good that he kind of, his DNA was so strong that it kind of it came in and kind of touched Jill's heart and soul, so she got involved in public service. But he gave of himself and was a comrade of Congressman Perry Mitchell. So it's good that the generations are now joined in support of renaming this bridge. Briefly, because the bridge spans the Port of Baltimore. And just a quick run through history. This is the port where there was the Isaac Myers shipyard, that where Frederick Douglass was employed. And this spans that particular area. And so there's the present port. And although Isaac Myers didn't actually own the shipyard, he gave safe haven to Frederick Douglass, so after he escaped slavery, he could work there, and then he also was in Baltimore City, a member of the choir at Sharp Street Methodist Church. You got to also know that Congressman Mitchell, while he was in Congress, made sure that all the black longshoremen, there were two unions when Uncle Perrin was elected to Congress. There was the white longshoremen's union and the black longshoremen's. And he made sure that as far as federal policies, that the black longshoremen's union got the same pay as white. But also in terms of contributing to the economy of the state, if, although there were other people involved, and it's called the Helen Lynch Bentley facility, it was Congress individual through his skills as a legislator that brought the kind of money that were necessary to make the Port of Baltimore a first-class port. So that defies all those who say that we're just going back and naming it for that. But then precisely have all scholars go and document how atrocious and that's the lightest I could say about the fact that, Tawney, what he did to try to set us back. And then also Francis Scott Key. And you know that the Francis Scott Key Monument sits right in the heart of Baltimore at Landell and Utah Place. And it's a constant reminder to, here's this man who aided and abetted in the re-enslavement of our people. And why should public tax dollars go to perpetuating that historic crime?
And that's the precise question.
It is a crime to even mention Hitler, and that every reference to Hitler has been voided from all of the public spaces. So, and that's how you make sure that people don't, continue to glorify, as people have done with Confederate generals and others. And so this teaches our children that they have a special place. And know that Congressman Mitchell didn't come from a privileged background. He was born in the 1300 block of Stockton Alley, just behind Pennsylvania Avenue, in 1929. And he was born between a cattle trough and a facility for the cows, pigs, and everything. And there was only a cistern in the middle of the street that was for bathing, but yet he rose to that. You never give up on children, no matter their circumstance or birth or where they come from, because
Absolutely.
They can rise to heights that we can't even imagine now. That just gives
you Congressman.
They say you should name this after a black man, and what are you trying to do? And you're always going to have that crowd.
You're absolutely right, Senator. And, I wanted to pivot over to Carl real quick, because thank you for that information, Senator. People need to know the history of Congressman Perrin J. Mitchell, the first African-American elected to Congress below the Mason-Dixon line since Reconstruction. But, Carl, I want to go back to that phone call, and we're going to bring a Gen Z in for the view that State Senator Mitchell was just talking about. Back to that phone call, Carl. Carl, was that phone call that we just listened to, was that sort of, out of the way? Have you been receiving a lot of these calls, or is this just sort of, one of those calls that just happened to come in? Have there been a lot of messages?
There have been a lot of messages going on. And one of the things that I got to say to you, Daryl, and I was listening to Senator Mitchell when he was speaking and talking specifically about the role that Jill Carter played. I just want Senator Carter to know how pleased I am with her leadership and what she's done over the years. One of the things I want people to understand is what this debate is really about. It's about who gets to decide who the heroes and the sheroes will be in America. We're going to, as you know, this coming Friday, April 26th, have an annual dinner honoring the late, great Congressman Perrin J. Mitchell. We want to remind Marylanders in particular and Americans in general the role that Congressman Mitchell played. I would not have been an elected official, Daryl, had it not been for Congressman Mitchell. You were influenced by Congressman Mitchell when you ran for public office, as was Jill, as was Senator Mitchell. We've got to understand that this is not about today. It's about tomorrow. Our young people in particular need to know who our heroes were. They need to understand that the reason there is a Wes Moore, the only black person in the United States serving as governor, was because of Perrin J. Mitchell. These things don't happen by accident. And the specific reference that the woman made in terms of the fact that I didn't pick cotton. Well, Reverend Jesse Jackson had the best answer for that. I love Reverend Jesse Jackson. He was able to coin the phrase. He said the same hands that pick cotton now can pick presidents. And that's what
right.
we need to understand. The power of the vote. We're beyond this notion that we have to accept the insults. What this woman did was really was a wake-up call for all the black people who are voters.